Okay, so when Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, and in Halacha Beis, we discussed how the Seir Mishtaleach works, this idea that the Seir Mishtaleach is mechaper for most averos, even if a person did tshuva, but for the ones that are chamuros, it doesn't work that way. Now, of course, then the question becomes, that works very well in times of the Beis HaMikdash. So in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam now is going to address how does tshuva work in when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around. So it says, "Bizman hazeh ein beis hamikdash kayam, vein lanu mizbeach, right? Kapara, ein sham ela tshuva." So since we don't have a temple and we don't have the altar that we would use as the vehicle for atonement, all we have is tshuva. That's it. Hatshuva mechaperas akol averos. So it's almost as if to say that there's, in one sense, is a system that's always in place, regardless of the beis hamikdash is around or not, which always works, and that's tshuva. If a person repents, it's mechaper for all his sins. Afilu rasha kol yomav ve'asa tshuva b'achrona. So even if the guy was evil his entire life and he does tshuva at the way end, ein maskirin lo shum dover marisha. Shneimar risha sarasha liyachashal bav yom tshuva marisha. So the Rambam's saying that you could be on your deathbed, right? If the person openly says that he's doing tshuva and he repents from his ways. We don't remind any, there's no stain, so to speak, whatsoever from everything he did as a Rasha. Okay, he wipes the slate clean. That's what Shiyom Kippur and Mechaper L'Shavim, Shnemar Kiyom Hazeh, Yichaper Aleichem. And it's interesting why he puts this in Halacha Gimel, but he says also, Yom Kippur, right, it's set up to be Mechaper for those who are Shavim. And that's always the key word, Shuva Yisrael, that we have to be defined as a Shav, meaning for those who seek out Shuva, right? Yom Kippur can function as a mechanism of kapara for them. So that's the other thing built into the system. So tshuva is always there, no matter what. And what the Rambam's emphasizing is the power of tshuva is so great that if a person is genuine in his tshuva, and that's the hardest thing, if you're genuine, so then a person, even if he's a Rasha, in a sense, it wipes the slate clean to some extent. Okay? We'll come back to that in a couple of prakim. There's some modifications of that. But for now, that's what the Rambam is saying. And Halacha Dalad, the Rambam says, "Afal pi yishat tshuva mechaperes al hakol," right? The atzmo shol yom kippur mechaper. So even though we know that tshuva is atoning for everything, as well as Yom Kippur being the ultimate source of atonement, yesh averos shehein miskaperim l'shaitan, the yesh averos ein miskaperim el achrasman. So sometimes, okay, you have certain sins that you do where the atonement is at that moment, okay, happens the moment you do tshuva, and other ones, the atonement doesn't kick in until after a time. So what does that mean? Ketzah. Avar adam mitzvah saseh, shein ba'kares. So let's say a person violates a mitzvah saseh, but there's no, he's not liable for kares. V'asa tshuva, and he does tshuva, eino zaz misham, ad shem mochulo. Okay, uve eilu nemar, shuva banam, shovim, erapem mosh vosechem. But avar mitzvah lo saseh, shein ba'kares, v'lo mitzvah spesin, v'asa tshuva, tshuva tole, yom kippur mechaper. So if the guy is mivatal mitzvah saseh, so then, and he does tshuva, then the tshuva will work, right? But if he's over mitzvahs lo saseh, okay, where there's no kares, and not even misa, he does tshuva, so the tshuva, what do you call it? The tshuva works, but the kapara doesn't emerge until Yom Kippur, okay? Now, of course, it's a broader question. What's the difference between repenting and atonement, okay? That gets more into, the idea of what we need to do, and so to speak, the response, so to speak, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, the difference is that your tshuva would work, it's just that you need this final atonement, and that won't take place in Yom Kippur. Avar al krisus umisos beisin vasa tshuva. Now let's say you were over prohibitions that you would get kares for, or capital punishment, and you did tshuva. Tshuva v'yom kippurim tolin. Okay? The yisurin haban alav gomer lo akapara. Fascinating. So, again, remember what we learned before, the Rambam says. He says here that tshuva and Yom Kippurim don't quite work, right? They're there, but they're required. The Yisurin Habanalav, it's when bad things happen to him, when he's, in a sense, experiences, when he has negative experiences in his life, then the atonement emerges. So there must be some, for lack of a better term, suffering on the part of a person who commits a sin that requires kares or misa. Right, beyond simply tshuva and Yom Kippur, there must be some type of suffering he experiences for the kapara to be complete. Okay, so you see that kapara isn't an instantaneous result of tshuva. Ulaolam ein miskaper lo kapara gemura, achivo love yisurin. And therefore, in general, you know, a guy will never get a complete kapara until there's some type of suffering. Uve elo nemar upakati b'sheva pisham v'nagayim avonam. Bamedvar mamurim, okay, b'shalol chilas Hashem. So all this is talking about a case where a person was not mechal shem. B'shash avar, when he committed the isser. So as long as there was no public, for example, a public expression of prohibition, that all the above would apply. Aval ha-mechal is a shame, right? But if someone profanes the name of God, afa pisha is a tshuva, even if he did tshuva, v'yigi yom kippurim, v'hu ome v'tshuvasa, uva lov yisurin, eno miskaper lo kapara gemara ach yomus. So if you want to know a sin that you perform, where there is no possible way to get atonement during your life, it's this right here. A sin that involves Chilul Hashem. So if a guy is Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, as an example, okay, even if he does tshuva, even with Yom Kippur, even if he suffers, loses his money and is homeless, whatever, he still doesn't get complete atonement until he dies. Ela tshuva Yom Kippurim v'yisurin shlosh dan tolin. So that's a powerful idea. Once a person gets kares, and that's the key. Once he's chayim in kares, so now there is no mechanism of an atonement taking place. His death is what will produce ultimately the kapara. Okay. So what we've seen in this halacha is a little bit of the mechanics of how tshuva and kapara are related to each other. Okay. Rather than think that tshuva by definition produces kapara, it's separated out. Okay. Now in Perek Beis, we're going to finally find out what tshuva is. Okay. Remember, we don't know what the process of tshuva is up to this point. In Perek Aleph, we've spoken about vidui, and it's taken in the Rambam. It's like almost like a given that when he mentions the word tshuva, you know what he's talking about. But we don't. So we have to find out what's tshuva. Now here is another one of more famous lines the Rambam has, which is the idea of what's called tshuva gemura. So before he gets into, there's what we'll call regular tshuva, and there's called tshuva gemura, which we'll say is complete tshuva. So what is ezohi tshuva gemura? And halacha aleph, what is tshuva gemura? Zeh shebo liyado davar sh'avar bo, okay? Ve'efshar biyado la'asoso, upirish v'lo asa v'nei tshuva. So again, the Rambam hasn't told you what to do to the tshuva, okay? All he said right now is, how do you know if you've done tshuva gemura, right? It's if I come across that which I committed an isser, right? For instance, let's say a guy had a cheeseburger, okay? Now what happens? The same situation all over again, okay? Post-tshuva. He's got that cheeseburger in front of him, okay? And he can do it, and he doesn't do it, right? Because he did tshuva? Lo meyer v'lo mechishon koach. But not because of fear or because he was weak, meaning the reason why he didn't have the cheeseburger is because he did tshuva. Or to put it in a larger sense, because he knows it's wrong, okay? If that's what's motivating him, they did tshuva gemura. That's an important point. It's if the guy did it, if the guy said, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid, okay? That's not considered tshuva gemura. So ketsa, harei shaba al isha ba'avera, right? So let's say a guy committed a prohibition, a sexual prohibition with a woman, ula'achar zman nisyachin ima, right? And sometime in the future, after he does tshuva, he's alone with her. Okay, and he's in the same exact situation. Okay, same scenario, same feelings, everything. Okay, upirish v'lo avar zeu ba tshuva gemura. He stops himself. He separates and doesn't do it. That's tshuva gemura. So tshuva gemura, in a sense, requires, so to speak, almost like a replication of the exact scene in order to demonstrate that. Which, if you think about it, that presents a unique challenge because. How today, if a person, we all do sins, and we all try and do tshuva, how many people today have experienced tshuva gemura, right? How would you know you've done tshuva gemura unless you're put back into that same situation you were before? Without that, there's no way to know if you've done tshuva gemura. You can say I've done tshuva, but is it tshuva gemura? Now, of course, that doesn't mean a person should go ahead and test himself to see if he's done tshuva gemura. I think that would be a mistake. I don't think the Rambam would suggest that you go out of your way to recreate the situation just to prove that you've done tshuva gemura. But it is an interesting thing that we talk about the importance of tshuva and how we all try and do tshuva, but how many of us have actually accomplished tshuva gemura, which requires this exact return to the same situation that you were in previously? Hu sheshlomo amar, uzuchor esberecha, bimei bichor esecha, right? Vim lo shav, ela bimei zaknuso, or uveishi efshra lo lasos, Mashaya Osa, right? Now, let's say he's unable to do this tshuva gemura. Only, what do you call it? Let's say he didn't do tshuva until he was old, right? Or he does it in a way where he can't do what he did before. Afa pishena tshuva me'ulo, afa pishena tshuva me'ulo ma'elasilo u'bal tshuva hu. He's still a bal tshuva, okay? He's still a bal tshuva. So we gotta emphasize that. It doesn't mean you haven't done tshuva if it's not tshuva gemura. Afiu lavar kol yomav, v'asa tshuva b'yom misaso. Even if you did sins your entire days and you do tshuva at the day of your death, umes b'tshuvaso, okay, and you die in this state of doing tshuva, kol avonosav nimchalin, then all your sins are forgiven. Shnemar adashelo sech shach hashemesh v'orvei reach v'kolchavim v'shovu avim achar geshem sh'yom misa miklash im zachar boro v'shov kodim shemos nislach lo. Now, what's important to emphasize is that this isn't a game, meaning a person can't say, you know what, I'll sin my entire life and then I'll wait until the day I die and do tshuva, right? Because that very motivation itself will prevent that from being an actual act of tshuva. You understand? Because that undermines the ability for it to be tshuva. It has to be, for lack of a better term, genuine. It has to be a true, genuine expression that this person recognizes that what he did was wrong his whole life, and he's done tshuva as a result. Yes. Oh, okay, so, right, it's a good question. In other words, practically, you wouldn't feel anything practically, but in order to ever, I'll tell you what it is, and I'll put it this way. In order to ever know definitively that your tshuva was a complete tshuva would require tshuva gemura, okay? In other words, and I'll give you like a nafkamina. It's like a person can say, like when we discuss Yarek Val Yavor, a person can say, I'm positive that if I was in front of an idol and the guy put the gun to my head, I would take the bullet, right, and wouldn't bow down. But does the person really know that's the case? You don't know what you're going to be in that situation. Meaning, the only way you could ever truly know that your tshuva was complete is this situation, okay? But practically speaking, you're correct. There's no way I can look at myself and say, huh, I'm not sure if I did tshuva, complete tshuva or not. You know what I mean? Right? In other words, a person doesn't have to say to himself, when I'm doing tshuva, am I doing tshuva gemura? In other words, tshuva should be tshuva gemura. That's built into what a guy does when he does tshuva. Yeah, go ahead, Ron. I think it's an excellent point. A very important point. A person can think to himself as much as he wants, I am positive. If I were in that situation all over again, I wouldn't do the isser. He could think that. But until the test takes place, it's not tshuva gemura. That's the whole point here. You could think about it as much as you want. The thinking's great, but ultimately, it's only through the test of it that you can ever say the tshuva gemura, okay? Now, finally, we're going to find out what tshuva is. So think about it. It's taken four halachas in Perek Aleph, and then one halacha in Perek Beis to finally tell us, guess what? This is what tshuva is. So halacha Beis, umahi tshuva. Now, what is tshuva? Okay, who, sheyazo v'chote cheto, right? V'asiru mechshavaso. The yigmor belibo shelo yasahu od. Okay, so there's a lot of steps here. The chote removes from himself the sin. Okay, he erases it, so to speak, from his mind. Right, and he concludes to himself he'll never do this again. Okay, so again, it's like this. It's a process. He identifies the sin. Right, removes himself from the sin. Gets rid of this whole entire outlook from his mind, so to speak, and then has to come to a conclusion. He won't do it again. Shnemar yazov rasha darko. V'chein yisnochem al sha'avar. As well, it's interesting how he puts it separately, okay? But he also has to have regret. So it's interesting that the Rambam's saying, azivas chet, saras machshava, and gemar leib are one component, and once that's done, now he has to have regret for what he did, right? Shenemar ki achar yishuvi nichamti. V'yayit alav yodea ta'lumos, shlo yashu v'zeh achet le'olam. Okay? So he testifies to himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he'll never go back to this chet again. Shnemar v'lenemar od elokim l'maaseh yedeinu, right? V'tzarech l'hizvados b'sfasov. That's important. And then he has to do vidui out loud. V'lomar aninus elo shagamar libo. So part of the vidui now, okay, is the verbalization of this thinking process he just went through. Okay? So at first, tshuva, according to the Rambam, is really an introspective process, meaning you go through it in your mind, right? And then there's different components to it. And then ultimately, there has to be some point where it's said out loud, okay? And it's always interesting how a person says that I'll never do it again. That's part of what do you call it, the necessity of tshuva, okay? That's it. But so that's what's amazing. That is tshuva. One halacha, I mean, remember, this is called Hilchos tshuva. One halacha, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, is all the Rambam is ever going to say about what's required in tshuva. Such a simple formula, right? Simple formula. And yet, it is probably the most difficult thing that all of us experience or engage in every day, and of course, every year of our lives. Now back to Vidui. So now that I understand what tshuva is and have to do Vidui, so Halacha Gimli says, Kol ha-misvada bedvarim, v'lo gamar b'libo lazov, okay? Let's say a person does acknowledge these things out loud, but inside, right, he says to himself, I'm not really going to, the chait. And again, lahavdil, it's like, imagine Yom Kippur. A person recites all the al-chaits, but says to himself, I don't really buy into this, right? Hariz adomo tol v'sharetz biyado. It's just like a person who goes to the mikvah holding a sharetz. Sheina tevila ma'eloslo achi yashlech ha-sharetz. Because the tevila can't help him until he gets rid of the bug. V'cheinu omer modev ozev yurucham. V'sarach lifrot es ha-chait. Shenemar ana chata ha'am azeh chadag lov yasol hem elohei zohav. So it's also important the person identify the specific sin. Okay, so in Vidui is not just simply a generic acknowledgement for the individual. It's not just a generic acknowledgement of sin, right? I have to identify the specific chait that I did, right? It's an important thing for a person to tie the Vidui to whatever chait he did. It's not just a formula. It's the Vidui on this thing that I did, okay? That's Vidui. Now in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam now talks about what are called Darchei Tshuva. So Darchei Tshuva, without getting too deep into it, which also, again, these ideas are found in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Darchei Tshuva really refers to not acts of tshuva, but I'd say different things that either you could say are important to help a person do tshuva, to get him in the right mindset, or in the process of tshuva are aids as well. Okay, so what are these things? So midarchei tshuva lios hashav tzoik tamed lifnei Hashem bebechi v'tachanunim. All right. So one thing is that the person that notice how he says lios hashav, meaning the person already has the mindset to repent. What does he do? He cries out to God, crying and supplicating himself. Okay? The oset staka kavi. Sorry. So what the shav does is, the person who's in the state of repenting, right? He cries out before God. He cries. He screams and he's crying and he's supplicating. That's the mindset he has. That's one. The oset staka kavi koko. Okay? It's interesting how he brings staka into it. He gives staka. The idea of acts of selflessness become critical when a person's doing tshuva. O misrachek harbe min adav shechataba. Amazing. And the thing that he committed the sin on, right? Let's say it's he had basar bechalav. He stays as far away as possible from those types of things. Removes himself. O mishana shmo. He changes his name. Kolomar ani acher ve'ini oso ish. Right? You change your name to someone else and say, I'm someone new. I'm not that guy. And it's amazing. In this one sin that you committed and you tshuva on, right? You really get like, if you, again, according to the Rambam, these darchei tshuva, you really change your acts. You become like a different person. You say, I'm going to act differently from now on. Kum latova. Everything I do is going to be for the good. Uderach yishara. And not only that, the golem in komo. And you put yourself into a self-imposed exile. Okay, from where you live. Now, of course, it's hard to know by mimkomo, does he mean like my city, my house, you know, what exactly that is. But the point is, some change in your makom as well. Shagalos mechaperes avon, So just to finish up, the Rambam says shagalos mechaperes avon mipnei shagaremislo lechaneav lios anav shval ruach. Right. So there's something about putting yourself in a self-imposed exile that really brings about the right state of mind. It affects you in a very powerful way, and it is, it's a big assistance in tshuva. Okay, so one more halacha. Okay, then now the Rambam says, "V'shevach gadol l'shav sheizvad de'barabim." Now it's a tremendous. Think about this very carefully. Okay, it's a tremendous praise. It's praiseworthy for the person who does tshuva to do it publicly, to do vidui publicly. V'yodia pshav lahem. and to let others know about the sins that he committed. Umegala avera shebeinu lebein chaveru la'acherim. That's the key. And all the sins that you did between you and your fellow man, you tell others. So, that, for example, Lashon Hara, there's a great shabach for a person to get up in shul, right? For example, and say, I want everyone here to know I'm a Baal Lashon Hara. I'm acknowledging I was over this chait. Everyone should know such a thing. The Omer Lahem, Omnam Chatasi Laponi Vasis Lo Kafikach. The Harini Hayom Shav Misnachim. So you tell someone, you tell the people, I did this. I committed a sin against this person, and I am now regretting. I'm regretting it. I'm doing tshuva and I'm regretting it. The Chol Mizgav Eina Modia. Right, but let's say a person. It's interesting his language here. He's like a Baal Gaivat accent, and he doesn't let people know. Ela Mechasep Shav Ein Tshuvaso Gemura. Shenemar Mechasep Shav Lo Yitzliach. Then you have to say his tshuva by definition is incomplete. There has to be a will, and that's interesting. He's not saying you're chayev to, but there definitely has to be a willingness to, right? B'med dvar amurim b'avar shemin adon l'chaveiro, right? Ava b'avera shemin adon l'makom eino tzarech l'far samatzma v'azus panem hilo im gilein. Right, so a person's not chayev when it comes to, let's say, a prohibition between bein adam, between man and God. Then he doesn't have to do it publicly, okay? Elo shav l'fnei akel baruch hu porit chatov l'fanav v'mizvad alem l'fnei rabim stam. So it's not necessarily a good thing for a person to reveal to others of the sins he committed vis-a-vis him and God. It's up to him to acknowledge that before a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But when it comes to sins between man, he should. So imagine that for a second. Imagine on Erev Yom Kippur, okay, rather than doing a Kol Nidri appeal, what we did instead was that we said, here's a great opportunity for everyone to get up, right, and let us know and acknowledge what chatan that you did this year against your fellow man. That would be a fascinating thing to engage in.